Welcome to Anchored in the Word.
Well, you know, I'm not quite there yet. You're still a child of the devil then. That's reality. You're not a child of God. You're still a child of the devil. And he says, verse 9, whoever has been born of God does not sin. And what that means is, not sinless perfection. He's talking about does not habitually live that way anymore. They take the provision of 1 John 1:9. When they sin, they get right with God. When they break off from God, they get right with God. That's an evidence of who you are.
When I'm anchored deep in your clean love, I'm anchored deep in who you are. I'm anchored deep in holy word. I'm anchored deep in you, my Lord.
This is Anchored in the Word, the radio ministry of Calvary Chapel Coastlands in Eatontown, New Jersey, with our pastor and teacher, Bill Beckelman.
This truth is difficult for some people to comprehend. You're either a child of the devil or a child of God. There is no neutral in the spiritual realm. If you reject God, then you're in opposition to Him, and by default, a child of the devil. As tough as this may be to digest, listen carefully to today's program, and God will give you understanding. At the close of Pastor Bill's message, I'll be sharing with you how you can get a copy of today's broadcast of Anchored in the Word, subscribe to the podcast, or simply get in touch with us. But for now, please open your Bibles to the book of 1 John chapter 3, verse 2, as we join Pastor Bill.
For we shall see him as he is. But there is somewhat of a mystery to this place of where we'll be, this everlasting life, where we'll spend it. But here's what we do know, that he'll be there, and we'll be like him, and we will be able to experience him, maybe even beyond in what it was like in the garden. But it will be all love, love like you've never experienced before, and we'll be in the midst of it, and it'll be for all eternity. You won't miss earth. You won't miss the things that we thought were so important here in this time domain right now. We won't miss any of that, guaranteed. But he did that. He had to take away our sins so we could experience this. If your sins aren't taken away, you won't experience what we just described. You will experience what's talked about in the book of Revelation. The end is the lake of fire. And he doesn't want that for anyone. He's saying, let me take your sins away. Let me take your sin. No, I like them. They're fun. They are? I mean, seriously, think it through. Is it really worth eternity? He says the second part of verse 5, and in Jesus there is no sin. Perfect. There's only been one perfect person, and you're not it. There's only been one. And he had to be perfect, you know. And you know why he was perfect, right? Because here's what happened from the original sin. When the original sin happened, sin came into the world. It affected man in a spiritual way. There was a physical thing happened because through the seed of man, sin was passed down from generation to generation. And it had to be, you know, we figured out it was through the man. How do we know? Well, because Mary was a woman, human being, and she had the Christ child. The difference in the birth of the Christ child, she was a virgin. The seed of man wasn't involved in that birth. The seed of God was involved in that birth. And so therefore he was sinless, without sin, conceived without sin, and without sin. He's set apart from the rest of us. He was without sin. He had to be that to pay for the price of our sins. He had to be without sin. Now, verse 6, and I want our ears to perk up here, because verse 6 tells us, as children of God, how we live in regards to sin. Here's what he says, verse 6. Whoever abides in him does not sin. That's the word I want to talk to you about, that word abide. But let me just say this to you, that the rendering here is not that you can be a sinless Christian on earth. Some people teach that, by the way. There is a movement that teaches that you can have a sinless life here on earth. If you keep attaining and attaining, it's not possible. I'd like to go meet some of these people and talk to them and see some sinless people. I've never seen one. Now, my wife's a saint. I can say that, all right? My wife's a saint. But she's not sinless. And neither am I. And by the way, I know a few of you, a couple of you, some, you know, more than others, I know better. You're not perfect either, right? None of us are. We can see that. But here's what he says. Whoever abides in him does not sin. And what does he mean by that? Well, I want to say to you that, one, how this would fit literally is positionally, meaning this, that because you're born again, you get the seed of God living in you. Positionally, in other words, as the Father looks upon us on earth, he sees us as sinless because his Son is sinless and we've been robed in his righteousness. So that would, you understand that concept, okay? That's the way God sees us. We are works in progress as we work it out. We see that on earth. But he says, whoever abides in him does not sin. And he means by that, and he's going to mention this a couple of different times in this, doesn't live a life of sin, practicing sin is what he's going to talk about. But whoever abides in him, let me give you the Amplified Bible, good Bible if you don't have one. You need to have one on your shelf or your Bible software, I guess in this day and age, your phone, okay? But the Amplified Bible amplifies the original meaning in the original languages, and it says it regarding abiding. Listen what it says. He who abides, in brackets here, who lives in communion with and in obedience to, deliberately, knowingly, and habitually, they don't commit sin. So here's the deal about abiding. And he talks about it in 1 John 1:9. God's given us provision for abiding. And abiding means to dwell with. It means that idea just to be close to. Abiding in the vine, he talks about in John 15. And if you think about a vine, how does a vine abide? It kind of just sits there and lets the, he says, you are the branches, I am the vine. And he says, and the branch just is related to the vine. It just kind of stuck onto the vine. He's just there, and the lifeblood of that vine goes up through that branch and feeds it, and fruit comes from that. And the abiding place is staying close to Jesus. Now, sin separates us. Hey, anybody in here ever sin? Now, I don't want to be proud of that, but I didn't see any hands go up. Okay. There's one in the back. Thank you, sister. A couple over here. All right. But we all are in the same boat. But sin separates us. So what do we do then? Do we lose our salvation? No. John talked about it in 1 John 1:9, didn't he? He says, yeah, you turn from them. You turn from God. And that now, he says, John says, turn from your sin. He says, 1 John 1:9 says this. If we confess our sins, that's the provision that he's given us. Not to make up for them, not to blame them on somebody else. See, that's what the world does. They understand, they may not call it sin, but they understand what the guilt and the bad feelings that comes from being a sinner. All right? We all experience those, don't we? Even before you came to Christ, you had a conscience. Now you got the Holy Spirit telling you. But you experience guilt, and so the world, they've figured out, well, if I blame this on somebody else, I'll be less accountable. I won't feel as bad. Like, you know, it's my father. This father you gave me. He, you know, the example that he set. Well, that doesn't fly. Let me tell you what. Well, you say, well, nobody's got a perfect father. Listen, Adam did. Perfect father. And look at him. Right? So it can't be the father. And by the way, Adam's the one that started this whole blame shifting thing, right? It's the wife you gave me. Nothing new, but some people get some temporary relief from that. Yeah, it's somebody else. I can't believe they made me do this. It's my wife. You know, if I just didn't have this wife, I wouldn't be the way that I am. Or pick something else, my lifestyle, the way that I was brought up, whatever. I was rich. I was poor. Whatever the case was that made me the way that I am. No. You're a sinner. That's reality. And when you sin, God's given us provision. Remember, he wants to take it away. Well, how does he take it away? If, conditional, you confess. What does that mean? That means call it what he calls it. Yeah, that's it. And we can all say it. It's sin. It's sin. I can't tell you in my marriage how I experienced this. When I'm sinning and my wife, you know, you can't. I get busted because I'm living with the Holy Spirit and my wife. I mean, and I'm a pastor too. I'm in the Bible. It's just like, you know, God knows what I need. You know what I'm saying? So, but yet I'll still fight, you know, against her, you know. And then when I sit and get sober, and I'm sitting there thinking, I don't mean from alcohol. I mean just from my pride. That's intoxicating enough. And so I'll sit there and I'm thinking, yeah, she's right. And I realize I don't want to say she's right. I don't want to call it that. You know, because I'm fighting this saying that I'm in sin. I guess I was so surprised that I'm in sin. You know, I'm surprised that I'm sinning right now. But here's what I found out. Or I should say I'm finding out. That when I confess it, just call it sin. The first thing it does, it's like, oh, okay, I know how to deal with it. The first thing it does is it quenches every bit of hostility that's in the household, or whatever you want to call it, disharmony that's in the household right there. When I humble myself, I go, no, okay, I sin. And not only that, because it comes from God. And I say, Lord, I've sinned. And then I pray, and I realize not only does he make it right, he washes he cleanses me from all unrighteousness there. But I've got to call it what he calls it. I can't call it what I want to call it. And believe me, and I know that I'm not alone, because Adam was one and you're one too, part of the Adams family. You're creative when it comes to your own sin. You're very creative. Calling it something else, blaming it on somebody else, or whatever else. So-and-so does it. And so the provision to stay in and stay and abide for a Christian is, when you sin, what do you do with it? Well, you confess it to the Lord. He says, if you do this, I'm going to do that. If you confess your sins, it says he is faithful and just to forgive you and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. That's the provision for us when we sin. That's how we abide. When we sin, we confess to the Lord. That's important for us. We need the cleansing of our sin. Remember, God says, I'm giving you 1 John 1:9. I want to take away your sin. So he says, whoever abides in him does not sin. Whoever sins has neither seen him nor known him. Listen, the reason that John is writing this, and it's important for us in this day and age too, there was a group of people that came into the church that were presenting themselves as Christians, that were presenting themselves as Christians with a higher learning. They had deeper insights into the Word of God that the apostles had given. It was a little deeper. And you had to have an understanding that they had about their theology. And they wanted to get these Christians to buy into their theology. But it's deeper thinking. It sort of goes back into the garden. If you eat this fruit, you can know something that God knows. It's a deeper understanding that you don't already have. We got to be careful, because that's a lure that we have. We all apparently want to be smarter or more in the know or something like that. So we got to watch out for that particular one. Not against knowledge or anything like that, but be careful the way that it's presented. They were coming in and they were saying basically this. It's an old lie. It's still the lie that goes on. They're basically saying, look, when you become a Christian, your life doesn't change. It doesn't have to change. Just your spiritual part of you has to change, of course. God comes in, he dwells inside of you. But the outside of the body is an evil thing anyway. It's where evil has been, you know, permeated. And so it can continue to be evil. It's like a separation going on there. You know, you get the inside of man and the outside of man. They're not connected in any way. The Bible doesn't teach that. That's the problem. The Bible teaches that the inside and the outside, what you're like on the inside, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. That idea. Those are connected. You know, what's going on the inside will have an effect on the outside. Whatever's controlling you in your mind and spirit will, you know, if I come up and hit somebody in the jaw right now, you say, well, that's not very spiritual, is it? That's not very loving. Who's controlling him? He's out of self, you know, that's not self-control. That's the other nature. That's not God's nature controlling me. Now, that may be an extreme example, but they were coming in saying, yeah, we can still continue in sin. We can still fornicate and be a Christian. Come on, man, you see how it works. The spirit's going to heaven, the body gets buried back in the ground, so the body can continue to do what it wants. But it's the same old lie that's being permeated today that, you know what, you can come to Christ and still be involved in sin. You know, once saved, they call it different things, once saved, always saved. I'm not debating that today. I'm just telling you, what John is saying is, if you're a Christian on the inside, there should be some effect on the outside that goes with it. That's what he's basically trying to tell them. And don't buy into these people, what they're telling you. He says in verse 7, because he teaches, he's got them in a place where they're Like little children, he says, let no one deceive you. That's what they were trying to do, deceive, like the enemy's trying to do, deceive us. He says, he who practices righteousness is righteous, just as he is righteous. In other words, if you belong to Christ, you're going to act like Christ. And then he says, verse 8, he who sins is of the devil. There, that's pretty clear. If that's your lifestyle, and again, that's what we're talking about here. Because Christians sin, right? We already talked about that. But what's he talking about? He's talking about a lifestyle of sin. It's the lifestyle you possessed before you came to Christ. The way that you lived. You were living for yourself. Oh, you may have acknowledged God, or whatever, I believe in God, but you were living for yourself. Fulfilling of the self, your selfish needs. And when you come to Christ and you become a new creature, you've been now designed to want His will. You know, anybody in here want God's will for their life? Yeah, amen's a good thing to say right now. That's supernatural. That's not normal. You wanting it God's way? That's something you say, well, it feels natural now. Yeah, because you've been doing it for a while. He's planted the seed in you. And you realize, yeah, I want that. Because you realize if you've seen a little bit of it, it's the good thing. Because this is what someone once said. It's really good. Sin is not bad because it's forbidden. Sin is not bad because it's forbidden. Sin is forbidden because it's bad. See, God wants to take it away because it's bad for you. And it's bad for everybody around you too. But he says this. He who sins or habitually sins, deliberately, knowingly sins, you could say, he says, has neither seen him nor known him. And then he says, little children, let no one deceive you. You practice righteousness, you're righteous, just like Jesus. If you're sinning, you're like the devil. Devil's been sinning from the beginning, verse 8. For this purpose, the Son of God, Jesus, was manifested, the second time we see that he might destroy the works of the devil. Yeah, he's still working. And Jesus died to destroy the work, and he did on the cross. Now, it's up to the people. The devil has no power over us. We can't say as Christians, oh, the devil made me do it. I know we talk about Satan. There's spiritual warfare. He's still alive and well, and he's still trying to harass the church, but he can't do anything to us. Unless we let him, we start believing what he has to say over what God has to say. The same thing that happened in the garden. But know this, there's two kinds of people in the world. Children of God or children of the devil. There's no in between. Well, you know, I'm not quite there yet. No, you're still a child of the devil then. That's reality. You're not a child of God. You're still a child of the devil. And he says, verse 9, whoever has been born of God does not sin. And what that means is, not sinless perfection. He's talking about does not habitually live that way anymore. They take the provision of 1 John 1:9. When they sin, they get right with God. When they break off from God, they get right with God. That's an evidence of who you are. And then he says, and this is the reason. This is deeply theological here. For his seed, God's seed, remains in him, the believer, and he cannot sin because he has been born of God. And that means this: the Christian is a new creature. The seed of God is now dwelling in him. He has been born again. And I like what that says, by the way. Verse 9, I like that word remains. You see that? His seed remains in him. I like that. Those of you that like the security part of this, I like security too. This idea of the seed remaining in him. When God does something, he does it right. Amen. He does it right. Think about it. I mean, it makes perfect sense. He does it right. So when somebody gets born again, you know, I think you're born again. And the idea is if you are, then what should follow is if you're a new creature, guess what? You'll have a new life. And it'll unfold before you. Hopefully that's your testimony this morning, that you're not the same person that you were before you came to Christ. And all glory to God for that. But I want you to know something, and he's mentioned it twice in verse 9. This idea of born of God. Born of God. I had a man tell me one time as I was trying to explain to him, because this is a hard thing to explain, in a sense. How do you explain this? So John chapter 3, when Jesus was talking to Nicodemus, he told him, religious man now, Very religious man. He came to Jesus at night. He says, how? He goes, he's talking about, he saw Jesus' ministry, and Jesus said, look, you can't see the kingdom of God unless you be born again. You can't enter the kingdom of God lest you be born again. And he goes, okay, how is a man when he is old climb back into his mother's womb, be born again? And he goes, you got it wrong. He says, you must be born of flesh or born of the water, then born of the spirit. You must be born of God. This is a spiritual rebirth. And that makes you born of God. But you got a place to plant it. Yeah. It's you picture yourself here in the born-again experience. You're sitting here holding on to your sins. Right? You're holding on to them. Holding on to them tight. And the Lord is saying, I want to take those sins away. And you have to just, you got to receive it. You got to open up your hands, just like you were receiving anything else, and let go of your sin and let him take that from you and receive him with open arms. He just wants to do that. That's the reason that he died. And he says, when that happens to a child of God, when it comes in, when you get reborn, you're not the same person. And he's laying this out, that these people that are telling you, oh yeah, we're Christians, but you look at their lives, they haven't changed at all. But they're saying, no, we don't have to change. You don't understand, we got to figure it out theologically. We don't have to change because of this, that, and the other. And you know, there's many theologies that have come around the same lie that I don't have to change. I can live any way I want and still go to heaven. The problem with that is it's not true. You'll find things in the Bible that are contrary to that. You live a life of drunkenness, you will not inherit the kingdom of heaven. You live a life of homosexuality, you won't inherit the kingdom of heaven. You live a life of an angry man, I'm talking habitually and practicing, you will not inherit the kingdom of heaven. The list goes on and on. It's because he's basically saying anybody that's not born again will not inherit the kingdom of heaven. You can put sins in any kind of category you want, but if you're holding on to your sins, you will not inherit the kingdom of heaven. So it's important to be born again. And with that comes the ability, like we talked about, just to, you know, you have to let go, and then he's going to give you everything you need then to walk the walk that he's called you to walk. And so, the first thing as we end here is, are you born again? Are you born from above? Has the seed of God taken residence in your heart? It starts like this. This is what the scriptures declare. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. To as many as received him, to those he gives the right to be the children of God, to those who believe in his name. So you must receive.
You've probably heard someone say that they don't want to accept Christ because it will ruin all of their fun. There's a false notion out there that the God we serve is a cosmic killjoy who only wants to take away those things that are fun. As Christians, we know this isn't true. Walking in the truths of God's word is the only way to experience complete blessing and fulfillment in this life. In fact, the book that Pastor Bill is teaching through here on Anchored in the Word says, "For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not burdensome." To learn more about Anchored in the Word, Pastor Bill, or Calvary Chapel Coastlands, log on to anchoredintheword.com. There you'll find helpful tools that you can use to study God's Word. Again, our web address is anchoredintheword.com. Social media is such a big part of our lives these days. We encourage you to visit our Facebook page and become our Facebook friend. Log on to anchoredintheword.com and follow the link to our Facebook page. Or you can always give us a call. Our phone number here at Anchored in the Word is 732-544-2225. That's 732-544-2225. And don't forget to place a marker in your Bibles and join us again as Pastor Bill continues teaching through God's Word. That's all the time we have for today. Make plans to join us again for the next edition of Anchored in the Word.